Brave ladies, folks. Brave ladies. We're so glad to have children present in the church again. When we, for the last couple of years, we've been sort of shy on children. And so it's good as we see more and more of them coming in. And I don't know why you came this morning, what you came expecting or what you came looking for. But I have given a lot of thought as to why we might meet together here. And one of the things that, one of the reasons we would meet together would be to look into God's Word and find something relevant. Because if you come here Sunday after Sunday, and what we teach and what we preach and what we talk about and is not relevant to you, there's no reason to come back. But if we look at God's Word and we can make application of God's Word to you, to what's going on in your life, that makes it relevant and makes it worth coming for. And there's a lot of stuff going on that affect each one of us different ways. And so this morning, we're going to look at some of what's going on around us because it affects, and it's going to affect you and your life. The message that I have, you can be turning, it's 1 Corinthians chapter 8. It's where we're going to start off. That's the scripture we're going to use as a foundation for a message. And I have titled this message, Some Would Be God. Some would be God. There's a word implied in there after the word some. Some people would like to be God. People that you might have heard of, people that are around you, people that you might read about, might see on TV, might even get to know some. There are people who are not satisfied with God being who He is, and they think that they can do a better job being God. You might know somebody like that. So let's look at our scripture and then see where it takes us. As we think about this morning, some would be God. 1 Corinthians 8, 1 through 6. Now, as touching the things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, and charity or love edifieth. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing, yet as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. As concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice to idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. Most of you know how I feel about idols. In case you don't know, let me tell you a bit about the idols that are around us today. For there are many idols, and they are all around us. And some of the idols that we find around us actually expect to be worshipped. I'd like to take you this chance to warn you that it's going to get a whole lot worse before it gets any better. And the closer we get to the next election, it's going to get even worse. So you might want to tighten your seatbelts. There was a time in this country when our leadership believed that there was such a person as God. They believed that the God that they believed in had a son. His name was Jesus Christ. And that when Jesus Christ lived upon this earth almost 2,000 years ago, he gave us a lot of, not suggestions, but he gave us some commandments, and he gave us some philosophy as to how we ought to live and the right things we ought to do. And so these men who are our leaders originally believe that what Jesus told them and laid down in the way of principles were worth following. And so as they designed this nation that we all are a part of, as they designed it, they incorporated the principles that Jesus had taught because they believed God. They actually believed that if you read the Bible and you study the Bible, that in this book, our Bibles, we find certain inalienable rights. That means things that belong to us. And so when they put together our Constitution and our Bill of Rights, they incorporated what they found in this book because they knew it was right, because they knew it was good, and because they knew it would work. And for almost 200 years, it worked. Was everything perfect? No. But it was pretty good. And people loved each other, and when someone had a problem, others around them wanted to help them. We were looking out for each other because of what was in this book. Now, not everybody was a Christian. Not everybody knew the Lord Jesus Christ, but they followed the principles that were in this book because they knew they worked. All of those, there were many different groups. And there were flaws as this country was founded and begun. Yes, there were things that were wrong. And they knew that, they understood it. For example, some of the leadership who helped develop this country owned slaves. They did. I mean, it's a fact. So why can we deny it? Or why should we deny it? And they used those slaves for profit to help them clear land and to develop agriculture and build plantations. And yes, they profited by the slaves. And eventually, God gave them the conviction that it was wrong. And the day came when they said, we can't do this anymore. And they freed all of the slaves. That was a good thing. Now, folks, that was 100 years ago. It was over 100 years ago. 140 years ago. So I don't know anybody who's owned slaves. I don't think you do either. Did my family own slaves? Back in the early 1800s, yes, they did. And I've heard the stories. Did I own any slaves? No. Did my father own any slaves? No. Did your father own any slaves? No. So, you were not a part of that. I was not a part of that. None of us were. That was great. For me, it was a great-grandfather. And for some of you, it was probably the same. So, do you owe anybody for what your great-grandfather did? No, you don't. See, the Bible's pretty practical. He says, you're responsible for what you do, and I'm responsible for what I do. Now, that's scripture. That's scriptural. There's actually a verse in the Bible that deals with this. And I want you to be aware of this. It's in Matthew 7, verse 12. And let me just read that verse to you. That's Matthew 7, 12. It says, therefore, all things whatsoever you would do to men, that men should do to you, do ye even to them. For this is the law and the prophets. That has a name. It's called the Golden Rule. And you know what? When this country was founded, eventually they came to follow the Golden Rule. Now, time passed. This is a bit of a history lesson, by the way, this morning. Time passed. And people began to get busy. And people had no time for God, because they were so busy gaining wealth and doing things that they wanted to do. And so eventually, things took God's place. And that's what I'm talking about when I talk about idols. An idol is anything that takes the place of God. An idol can be a person. If I love my wife more than I love God, she becomes my idol. If I love my child more than I love God, my child becomes my idol. And so there's a lot of idols running around this earth right now, but there are things that also become idols. People began to collect things. Houses, cars, riding lawnmowers. I grew up with a push lawnmower, okay? Had the rotary blade. The harder you pushed, the faster the blade turned. Many of you did. I never idolized a push lawnmower, okay? Just in case you're wondering, okay? But people began to collect stuff, and stuff eventually began to become idols in their lives. And soon they had so much stuff, they didn't know what to do with it all. But they were afraid somebody might take their stuff. And so they began to arrange the protection of their stuff through a thing we call politics. Now, we're not a political church, and we're not going to become a political church, but politics is a fact of life. And for some politicians, the politics itself became another idol. It became before God. It took the place of God in their life. And they began to use politics to guarantee that nobody else could take their stuff. And then they decided that maybe they could use politics to get some of your stuff. You say, oh, I wouldn't let them do that. You pay taxes, don't you? It's real, folks. It's in the Bible. In their own sight, some of these people became God. They became more important than God. They became able to do the things they think God would do. If they wanted some of your stuff, they had the right to take it according to their philosophy, according to what they were thinking. Now, we're sitting here as a group, I believe, love the Lord Jesus Christ, love our Heavenly Father. And so He should be first in our lives. But I want you to be aware of what's going on around us. And we have some fault in what's going on, what we're permitted. Some of the people who got into power decided that they wanted to make rules so nobody else could take away their power. So they could keep their power in order to keep their stuff. And more people began to see them in the place of God because this country, the people of this country, were leaving God in order to get stuff. And people, that's where we are at today. That's where we're at as a society today. It didn't start out that way. It started out with you and I having certain rights and assuming that we would always have those rights. I never thought I would see what I see going on in our society today. But these people got together and they formed political parties, and not just one, but several. And this was not what the forefathers envisioned when they put this country together. Now, the people who have formed some of these, that are involved in some of these political parties, and I'm not singling out anyone, they've abandoned God, the God you and I know, the God you and I are here this morning to worship, but they have a God. His name is Lucifer. And they belong to him because they don't belong to Jesus. They don't know who Jesus is. And they are following their god, Lucifer. And he has helped them to develop the ability to lie. How much truth do we have around us today? I know we have a lot of lying going on. And he was so pleased. They became really good at lying. And they lied so much that they began to believe what they said. And therein lies the problem. They no longer knew what truth was. You know, You've probably, most of you have probably raised children. And in raising a child, if you let them watch television, the children many times believe what they're seeing on television being real. You and I know it's not real, and we can tell ourselves that, but they believe it's real because they don't know any better. They're young yet. They haven't learned to understand. And you say, well, you know, they're just little kids. I'm not going to be like that. Aren't you? I know a secret. I've seen some of you cry at movies. That wasn't real either. I've seen some of you actually get mad at the television set because you didn't like what you were seeing. And some of that probably wasn't real either. Probably it was a lie. What's that got to do with us as being Christians, being in church this morning? Well, let's begin to make an application of what we've been talking about. There was a time when Job got very close to this condition when his friends were meeting with him and criticizing him, figuring that because the bad things were happening to him that were happening, he'd lost his children, he'd lost his wealth, he'd lost everything but his wife and the skin that he was in, and even that was full of sores. And his people were critical of him because he had to be doing something wrong for God to do this to him. And Job began to think of himself, well, you know, poor me. God's picking on me. And sometimes you and I think, God, why are you doing this to me? Why are you letting this come into my life? And we need an answer. And you know, the answer is very simple, and I'm going to share the answer with you right now before we look at what God told Job. But the reason that God lets these things come into us, because it makes us stronger. He wants us to be strong. He wants us to be able to overcome the world. And you know what? If we have the spine of a wet noodle, we're not going to be able to do it. So God began to speak to Job. He began to speak to Job in chapter 40 of Job. And let me share with you verses 6 through 12, because this is God's reasoning with Job, and maybe sometimes he might want to reason with you. Then answered the Lord unto Job out of the whirlwind and said, gird up thy loins now like a man. I'll demand of thee, and declare thou unto me, wilt thou disannul my judgment? Wilt thou condemn me, that thou mayest be righteous? Hast thou an arm like God, or canst thou thunder with a voice like him? Deck thyself now with majesty and excellency, and array thyself with glory and beauty. Cast abroad the rage of thy wrath, and behold everyone that is proud and abase him. Look on everyone that is proud and bring him low, and tread down the wicked in their place. God's asking Job one question, a very realistic question. Do you have control over everybody around you? And you know what? He didn't. And there are times that I feel like, oh, if I could just do this or just be that, I'd fix them. <laughs> And God chuckles. I believe he's got a great sense of humor. He's a good God. He loves us. He takes care of us. He looks out for us. I feel that many of our politicians in Washington, D.C., even on the local level, think that they are in the place of God. I really believe that. They think they are more important than God because they don't believe in Him, they believe in themselves. And I believe that there are segments of the population that actually worship them. You say, how in the world? Because they vote for them. Even with all the wrong stuff that they do. You see, you and I are using different judgment. We're going by the book. And it's going to make a difference. These people who have become so drunk with power that they'll stop at nothing no longer are able to recognize the truth. Jesus referred to some of them in his time when he referred to them as being under their father, the devil. And he was the source of all lies and that they were liars. And we have liars all around us. So folks, we must be aware of the fact that we have the devil's influence all around us. In national politics, in local politics. Because if these people don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, they are open to the wiles of the devil. Now God says, and I've said this to some of you, and I'll say it again this morning, God tells us in his word that the eye is the window of the soul. And when I look into the eyes of some of these politicians, you know what I see? I see evil. I see the devil. I see demonic possession. You think it would be back in Jesus' time and not in our own? It's real. It's real. Now, I'm not going to become a nut and go around saying, oh, he's possessed, he's not, or she. You know, I'm not going to do that. You look at the eyes and you decide for yourself. If you got the Holy Spirit in you, the Holy Spirit's going to tell you exactly what's going on, what you're looking at. I want to share a few verses from John. I'm almost out of time this morning. But I want to share a few verses out of 1 John. 1 John. Little book in the very back of the Bible, just before you get to Revelation. There's 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and then Jude. And 1 John chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. Just three verses. But I want to share those with you this morning. 1 John 4, 4 through 6. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us, and he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. People, it's okay to determine whether a person is good or bad. It's okay. 1 Kings 18, 20 through 24 is a story of Elijah and King Ahab. And they were sort of adversaries. Elijah did not like Ahab. Ahab did not like Elijah. And then Jezebel hated really both of them. You probably know some families like that. But anyway, Elijah was God's man. And Elijah wanted to be used of God. And so as we look at 1 Kings 18, verses 20 through 24, here's the setting. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah to the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks. And let them choose one bullock for themselves and cut it in pieces and lay it on wood and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock and lay it on wood and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, "It is well spoken." Question, are you ready for God to answer by fire? Are you ready? You remember a few weeks ago, I asked you to pray that God would send his fire to my heart, that he would send his fire to this ministry, to this church, into your hearts. Because, folks, the Christian today has lost the fire of God. We've got to have that fire back. We have sat still, complacently, comfortable in our churches, comfortable in our little comfort zone, and let these things be taken away. And if we're not careful, we're going to lose the right to have a church and meet together like this. It's happened in other countries. You say, "Oh, I can't imagine it here." Okay, we've got over 450 churches in the major Charleston area. That's why they call it the Holy City. And by the way, folks, it's anything but that. Connie and I were in a city, the city of Galashiels, Scotland, for a few months. And while we were there, 12 different denominations of church combined into one, because none of the churches could survive on their own. And that the Catholic Church joined with the Episcopal Church and the Methodist Church and the Baptist Church and the Presbyterian Church, they all joined into one just to keep the church going, the church. Not necessarily the truth. And you know what? I don't know how they chose a pastor, but they did. And the last we heard, it was going on while we were still there, that church couldn't survive either. This country is about 20 years behind Scotland when it comes to spirituality. You look at churches. Look at this one. Look at the empty seats. Because there are so many idols out there that people are worshiping and bowing down to that they can't come here. They're busy there. And so, folks, we need to realize what God expects of us. There are a lot of good people in this country yet. There are people who love the Lord all over this nation. A little bit here, a little there. We need to stand up. We need to quit being so complacent that we're just letting all this be taken away from us. There's a verse in James 5:16. I'm sure you're familiar with it. It says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another, and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And I believe that we have come to the time when imprecatory prayer, in other words, we ask God to take some of these people out of the way. That's what imprecatory prayer is. We need God. We need the people of God in power in this country. And remember the verse I read? Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Folks, God can do it. But you know what? He wants to use you and me. And that's going to mean some changes. This country has become a wicked, wicked nation. I love my nation. I still tear up when we sing the Pledge of Allegiance. Every time I see that flag, I want to salute. It's a great country. God made it great. But Satan's trying to take that away. And so, people, we need to become much more actively involved. And let me just, I know I'm running out of time, so but I believe some of this has got to be said. We criticize the Germans for what they did during the Second World War in the annihilation of 6 million Jews, the attempted genocide of the Jewish race. I want you to think about something. Did we expect God to intercede? He did. Next Sunday, I'm going to be dealing with another social problem that we have called abortion. But just for your information, this nation has aborted over 50 million children. 50 million souls have gone out into eternity. Innocent souls, they had no chance. If God dealt with Germany, what do you expect here? I think God is withholding his wrath right now, right this minute, because of you people. And people just like you sitting in churches all over this nation. But people, we've got to stop sitting. We need to get active. We need to make sure that we are taking our part in what goes on in this nation. We need to make sure we're voting. And we need to vote for people. We need to find out who's running. And if you can't find somebody you can vote for, then you need to find someone you can vote for. Or you yourself need to get involved. Think about that. Amy on the school board. Or the vice mayor of North Charleston. Folks, we can't sit complacently by anymore and watch. We've got to participate. Because there are some who would be God. And we know who God is. And it's time for us to let God be God and let God use us. to overcome the world. We won't do it with a sword, other than this sword, sword of the Spirit. We won't do it in a set of armor. It will start on our knees. That's where we're strongest, people. And we need to start faithfully praying for this nation, for the leadership, for every aspect of who we are. Satan is waging a very big battle against us right now. And if we're going to win, we will do it on our knees. I don't see how God has let this nation go as long as he has with what we are doing. I fear for this nation because of what I read in God's word. I believe that we are about to lose the great things that this nation once stood for. The church was an important part of our country from the very beginning. It was in the churches of America that the Revolutionary War was generated from these pulpits. As men read God's word and proclaimed what was right and the truth, and men are going to have to proclaim it again, what God's word says about us. Luke 20:25, another familiar verse. Jesus was talking to his disciples, and someone had attempted to fool him. They brought him a coin. They wanted to trap him. They wanted to put him in jail. Actually, they wanted to kill him. And they brought him a coin, and they said, okay, should a man pay taxes? And he took the coin. And he said, whose picture is on this coin? They said, Caesar's. And he said, then give unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, but unto God the things that are God's. What belongs to God in your life this morning? Gee, Pastor, I hadn't thought about that. We need to think about it. We need to pray about it. What belongs unto God in your life this morning? And as Jesus told them, give unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, but give unto God that which is God's. There's a promise in the Bible. It has been there for 3,500 years. 3,500 years, and you and I need to claim that promise soon. The minute I mention the reference, you're going to know what it is. It's 2 Chronicles 7:14. And I will close with this. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Can we make application? If we're his people, and I believe we are, then it's up to us to be good ambassadors for Christ. We need not fail at the task that God has laid before us. The future of our posterity and our nation depends on what we do with the empowerment God is ready to give us. If we do what His Word tells us. Let's pray. Father, there's a lot of wicked things going on, you know that. And Father, we're just individual people. You used Elijah as an individual, but that was a special guy. But Father, you are no respecter of persons. You see all of us the same way. And so we would ask this morning that you would show each one of us our part in taking back our nation. Father, we won't do it with guns. We'll do it with prayers. We won't do it with a sword. We'll do it on our knees. But Father, may your Holy Spirit lead and direct that we might see you working in the lives of the people around us. Help us, Father, to be your soldiers, to be the weapons that you will use against the evil that seems to be so dominant throughout our land. And Father, we will praise you for what you do. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.